Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be in verse 17 this morning. As we've been striving to keep unity, striving to use our gift, Paul tells us that we would walk worthy of our calling. Today's an important message because we're laying out a very important principle that relates to the rest of the teaching, chapters 4 and 5 and part of 6. Now, I have to tell you, I shocked my family this week. I cleaned the garage. Now, my wife is usually the one that cleans the garage, and I can always tell when she cleans the garage because she uses the hose and sprays it down. Drives me crazy because there's water in the garage for days on end after that. But I decided that I was going to clean the garage. It took me 3 days. I mean, when I say I cleaned the garage, I took everything out. My wife wasn't around, so I was able to throw a lot more things away. But my main reason for cleaning the garage was to find things that have been missing. Because a lot of times there are things in the garage, and when you work on cars and you work on whatever and do construction, you have stuff everywhere. And a lot of times things are missing. I discovered that I had, of course, with the Santino fleet, 6 cars and changing oil and making sure the oil's good. I'm buying motor oil often, and I discovered I had almost 3 5-liter things of oil that were in the garage that were unused. And that was a great discovery. And I'll have to buy any motor oil for a while and because it was there. But it was lost in the clutter. From my kids, not from me, but it was lost in the clutter. All the stuff was around, you couldn't see it, and so finally I had to do a cleaning and found it. And maybe this is an oversimplification. Obviously it is when you read Ephesians. But Paul has been telling us, and we studied chapters 1, 2, and 3. Paul, what has Paul been telling us? He's been telling us, you have everything you need to follow Jesus. You're accepted in the beloved. You're redeemed. You're new. You have the power, the resurrection power. You've been made one. We've been fit into the body of Christ. We've been given gifts. And so he's telling us, as believers, you have everything you need. You don't need anything else. There's nothing you're missing. There is not one thing that you lack to have a prosperous spiritual life. Sometimes it gets lost in the clutter. And sometimes it's easy. Now, it takes a lot of effort to clean the garage, but it seems like it's pretty easy to mess it up. That's kind of how our lives are. It takes a lot of effort to make progress, but then it seems easy for it to get messed up. And it's like when we get saved, we're renewed. We're born again. And Paul tells us we're a new creation. Old things are past. All things are changed. The problem is we still live in the old house. And we get accustomed to the old house that we live in. Have you ever gone back to the house you grew up in and you had all these images of what it was? You go back to it and it's like, wow, it looks a lot different. Or I didn't realize it was that small or that big or that whatever. Why? Because when you're in that environment, you get accustomed to that. When you get out of it, you see the difference. And so we still live in this old house. And Paul says here in verse 17, he says, "This I say therefore." He's going back to all this teaching about who we are, what we have in Christ, he says that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, walk in the futility of their mind. So Paul is saying, when you become a Christian, you don't go back to what was comfortable. You don't go back to what is easy. He says in verse 20, he says, but you have not so learned Christ. And so we become born again, we're following Christ, we have the Bible, but there's this tendency always to go back to the old man, to live, as we, a biblical terminology, we say live in the flesh. That means to live according to the old man, according to our old ways. And Paul said in Romans 8, 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so it's kind of like old clothes and new clothes. How many of you kids got new clothes for school? Anybody? Nobody? Some of you? Okay. Now let me ask you a question. Do you put the new clothes over the old clothes? Some of you do. Some of you don't know the difference. You just throw it on. The boys, they don't care. But you often take off, or your mother throws away the old clothes. You put on the new clothes. We change our style. And so as Christians, we need to change our look. We need to change our style. We need to strive to become, in a way, he says, I don't want you living as the Gentiles. I want you to live a new culture. And remember, we had that whole discussion, chapter 3, about the Jews and Gentiles, he's made us one. But he's made us one in the church almost to a new culture, a new expectation of morality, of living. And so he's brought us back to one. And so Paul wants us to remember that we don't go back to what we were. And when we come to Christ, we're changed. And so he says again, this I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, they should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. You're not going to have a prosperous spiritual life walking in the old man. And so three things I want to talk about the old way of living that we should recognize. And first of all is that the futility of their mind. Futility of mind. He says that we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their mind. It's talking about vanity. This is talking about things that don't lead to anything significant. This is talking about something that's not, doesn't have any value. It's something that's just fluff. It's just extra. It's just wasting your time. It doesn't build your life. And the Gentile, if you think about it, so many people live their lives based on vanity, based on things that have no value, based on things that are temporary, based on things that don't build up. Vanity doesn't build a life. Vanity leads to disappointment. Why do you think so many young people are depressed today at a young age? Because they fill their minds with vanity. All the social media. I'm going to challenge young people. If you have a problem with identity, with self-worth, with feeling like, depressed, I challenge you to stop social media for a month and start filling yourself with something else. Read a biography about Tim Tebow or about people that have done things. Read the Bible. Fill your mind with something that will help you, something profitable. And I can guarantee you, your outlook will change. But if all you think is in TikTok, oh, this guy, oh, he's putting beans on somebody's front porch. What's that going to help you? You're not building anything. Because I don't look like that, and I'm not as cool, and I try to make a video, and I only get 2 likes. How did this guy get 2 million subscribers? Vanity. Vanity, vanity, vanity. We build our lives on vanity, the futility of our mind. That's what the Gentiles, we need to put something that is valuable, something that will help us, something that will build us up. You ever heard the phrase, garbage in, garbage out? That's why you're so full of garbage. Just keep putting it in. And then blindness of heart. Blindness of heart. Notice what he says in verse 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, we don't really think about it that much because we have electricity in our days. But when the power goes out at night, what are we looking for? That flashlight we haven't used for years. And you finally find it and the batteries are dead. And so you're getting candles. So you have to struggle to get the light. Because as soon as the light goes out, the darkness overtakes it. When the electricity goes out, when the source of light goes out, then the darkness overtakes. Very quickly, the darkness can overtake. And so to walk in the light, we need to be conscious. We need to be battling. And very often, we're self-deceived. Is it the blindness of their heart? Notice what it says in Romans 13, 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So it's easy to fall back into darkness. And then, given over to feelings. Verse 19. Who being in past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And when he talks about feelings, he's talking about following our feelings without any moral restraint. That really describes our society. Because a lot of the issues that we are facing in our schools, that the young people are facing, is because we have rejected absolute morality and we have allowed people's feelings to supersede morality, and now it's come to the point where feelings supersede reality. Feelings supersede science today. We're basing policies in school upon people's feelings that are not even scientific. And we've allowed feelings to rule us. And so this is a dangerous. How many times have you said, you've done it? I've done it, right? I feel this. What does the Bible say? Is there a biblical principle? How can we, I understand you feel it, or I feel it. And we feel a lot of things, and our feelings can become very strong. What was it based on? Can you give me a couple of verses to help clarify it? That's why we have the Bible. The Bible is our moral guide. The Bible shows us, okay, I feel this, but wait a minute, this is what God said. This is where I have a base to control my feelings. And we're going to, in the next few weeks, going to be applying that in a practical way. So he says, you have not so learned Christ, verse 20. And verse 21, if indeed you have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now notice he says if. And if, and the question really is, you can't live the Christian life without being a Christian. You can look at the Bible and say, yeah, I want a better life, but have you become born again? Does the Spirit of God live within you? Is there a time when you understood you were lost without Christ, you were born in sin, Jesus died on the cross. He rose after 3 days. And the Bible says, he that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you just religious or are you born again? And I think one of the evidences of that is that we want to grow. If we feel totally comfortable back in the old way of living, was there a conversion? I didn't say, did you say a prayer? A lot of people say, I said a prayer. Okay, you can say a prayer. Say a lot of prayers. We used to joke in Romania that Romania was saved like five times over all the prayers people made. Sinner's prayer. Sinner's prayer doesn't save you. Faith in Jesus saves you. Repentance from your sin and faith in Jesus, that saves you. Not saying a prayer. So don't base it, well, I said a prayer once, but I just can't do it. And I can't live it. If indeed you've heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. So have you been born again? That's the first question. Paul came to this conclusion, and he said it in chapter Romans 7:18. He says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. The ability is given to us through the Spirit of God. And that's the starting point this morning. And I think it's why Paul is reiterating what a Gentile lifestyle was, to have a contrast that as we're in Christ and as we have everything we need to live the Christian life, and you can have everything that need. Let me just stop for a minute here. Living good doesn't make you a Christian. Faith in Jesus makes you a Christian, and he gives you the ability to live good. It's a misunderstanding a lot of people have. A lot of people say, well, I could never be a Christian. I could never live like that. Of course, Paul said, I can't live like that. I can't live like that. Before I came to faith in Christ, I tried to live like that. I tried to stop doing this. Didn't work out. You can be morally religious to a point. But even the most extreme religious people have skeletons in their closets. Why? You can't live the Christian life without Christ. Got to have Christ. So Paul recognized everything. So now, as a Christian, it's time for a new wardrobe. It's time to put on some new clothes. It's time to change your style. The kids are always talking to me and my wife and I. You guys got to change your style. You guys got to update your clothes. You're still wearing whatever. And so they're always saying, but you know, as Christians this morning, we need to change our wardrobe. So, two simple steps right here in this passage, and it's going to be the springboard for the next few weeks, okay? Now, it's pretty complicated, so I want you to just take a minute so you can get it, all right? It's pretty complicated. So, the first step one, take off the old clothes. Not now, okay? Verse 22. Talking spiritually, okay? That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which, notice what it says, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You see, the longer you put it off, the more corrupt you become. So that you put off, in other words, you stop doing it. In other words, you put it, you lay it aside. You put it away. You change. We have this ability, we call it a habit. Now, when you think of a habit this morning, you think of something bad. But in reality, a habit is something good. When you get dressed in the morning, you sit there and think, let's see, left hand goes here. What I do, oh no, the right. You don't even think about it. Hey, some of you, can drive, text on your phone, and drink a coffee at the same time. Don't do it. Some of you do it. Why? Because it's habit. You could do a couple of things and you just do it automatically. You don't think about it. You don't think, okay, I got to take a sip of coffee now. No, let's see. I got to respond. You have habits. Okay, but habits are good things. Now we have bad habits. But you can change your habits. It takes work. It takes effort. But through God's Spirit, we can change our habits. We can put off the old, what we're doing. And here is the key. Living the Christian life isn't just stop doing, it does not mean you stop doing things. It means you lay aside certain things and you do other things. That's an important step. Because how many of you said, well, I'm going to stop this or I'm going to stop that. And you stop it, but it's hard. You have to replace it with something else. So step two, put on new clothes. Put on new clothes, step two. Notice what the Bible says. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Where does the true righteousness and holiness come from? It comes from the inside. It comes from God doing a transformation. He is created. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This is the work of God. This is the hope of the gospel, that you may find yourself enslaved in habits, but God can free you from them. But God does not just free you from them. He gives you new habits. And so you need both steps. And the problem is a lot of times is we want to change and we want to stop, but we need to use both steps. We need to put off, lay aside, undress from the old man, and then we need to put on the new man. And he goes on, we're going to get to it next week, but he talks about, he said, don't lie, speak the truth. And so there it is. Don't do this, lay aside this, but take up something else. Don't just put off. And that's the mistake many times people do. Is they just say, well, I'm going to stop this. And sometimes, you know, we do that as parents, where we have this whole list of rules. And so our kids think Christianity is just about checking the boxes. But it's not just about not doing. It's also about doing. You can change your habit in about 2 or 3 weeks. You don't read your Bible? Maybe you have a habit. First thing you do, get up in the morning, check your messages. Maybe you need to get a habit just first thing in the morning, hit YouVersion. You can do that. You can get a daily devotion, and then it'll give you a notification. First thing up, you'll see notification, read your Bible. You start doing that. Start doing that every day. Maybe you fail. Start it. Fail. Say, you're posting about somebody's cute dog. Oh, wait a minute, I didn't read my Bible. Let me go read the Bible first. Let me get to God's Word. Let me not dwell on vanity. Come back if you want to go see the cute dog after that. That's fine. But put God's Word in your heart first. The old man, the old way of thinking is like the clutter in my garage. It drowns out what's really valuable. Because those old boxes and old shoes definitely weren't as valuable as the 5 liters of oil. we have value in Christ, and that's what he talks about, chapters 1 through 3, the value we have in him, what we have in him, the power we have in him. So it's time for us as Christians to allow God to transform us, to reprogram us, if you will, to install updated software, to change our thinking. And that comes through applying the scriptures and developing habits to get God's thoughts in us. And so this morning, two questions I have for you. What clothes do you need to put off? And what clothes do you need to put on? Now, I've already asked the most important question. Have you been born again? Do you know Jesus? You're not going to be able to do it by yourself. You need God to do it through you.